Heavenly Father, we rejoice this Lord's Day morning in the privilege of gathering together to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We bless Thee this morning that Thou hast called Thy people to worship Thee in the beauty of holiness. We thank Thee that we have already access into Thy presence in the name of Thy Son. We do not trust in forms or in ceremonies. We do not trust in acts of ritual or in acts of drama, but we trust in the living God, and we come by the new and living way, by the blood of the everlasting covenant. We rejoice in our relationship with Thy Son. There was a time when we were in darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. We rejoice in the mighty transformation of the regenerating agency of the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts. We thank Thee that we have been born again, that the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And we thank Thee for Thy good and loving and gracious care with us from the day that Thou didst save us. Thou hast helped us. Thou hast directed us. Thou hast guided us. Thou hast blessed us. Thou hast preserved us. And it's by the grace of God we are what we are. We rejoice as we look over the past, and we raise our Ebenezer, and we say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. O God, as we commence this day of prayer and fasting, we pray that Thy good hand will be upon Your people. Give us a burden for this land. It's on the brink of chaos and catastrophe. Draw us back from the razor edge, we pray, and grant that Ulster may go forward in the joy of God's salvation and in the demonstration of a mighty old-fashioned heaven-sent revival. Lord, help us in the battle, we pray. We thank Thee that greater are those that are with us than those that can be against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? O Lord, we pray that we may be encouraged today, that our hearts may be blessed. Bless the campaign through the country. Bless the standard bearers of truth. We pray that we may be helped and blessed and strengthened. We remember Thy servant today who has come such a long distance to minister to us from the Holy Word. We thank Thee for the work that he represents and the great university over which he presides. We thank Thee for all that that great testimony has meant to the fundamentalist cause. And we pray that his heart may be blessed as he ministers the word of God to us. Give him great liberty and the unction of Thy Spirit. So be with us today. We look forward to this day with glad anticipation. For a day in Thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Revive and refresh Your people and do us good this day for Christ's sake. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.
It's always a joy to be here in fellowship with God's people in Ulster. I thank the Lord for your love of Christ, your willingness to suffer for the truth's sake, and the fact that you will not surrender. Some years ago, I was in South Africa for meetings, and when I got off the plane, the press was there. They seemed to be there, always underfoot. And they said to me, Dr. Jones, what do you think of our racial situation in South Africa? I said, I don't know anything about your racial situation in South Africa except what I read in the papers, and I've got enough sense not to believe anything I read in the papers. And I said, you are not going to catch me with that hook. I come from South Carolina. We have racial problems in America, and I haven't yet been able to see how we're going to solve those. And I'm not going to be fool enough to come to South Africa and tell you how to solve your problems. Strange, isn't it? I didn't come here to say anything about the election. As Dr. Paisley told you, I haven't got enough sense to understand Irish politics. Only an Ulsterman could understand them. They are so different from our politics in America. I'm just trying to learn a little bit. Just as a historian, I like to observe. In the second place, I've got too much sense to put my nose in where it's none of my business. And if I came here and tried to talk to you about your politics, you'd resent it, and rightly so. I'd resent an Irishman coming to America and telling us what to do. Of course, if he said, get rid of Johnson, I would have said amen to that. And in the third place, Dr. Paisley doesn't need my help. From what I've seen here, everything's in good shape. You know, one thing I do resent in the press is the fact that they say in America, this man is the self-styled moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church. I wonder when he's elected to the Commons if they'll say he's a self-styled member of Parliament. Strange the language that they use to try to discredit those who are the children of God and standing for the Word of God. But we must come to expect that. But I thank God for this man's ministry, his faithfulness to the Word of God, his courage, his conviction, and his willingness, if necessary, to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. We need in these days men of conviction. Conviction always breeds courage. I told the folks in the meeting last night, you can keep an opinion to yourself. At least a man can. I never met a woman that could. You can keep an opinion to yourself, but you can't keep convictions to yourself. And where people have conviction, there's bound to be conflict. I was talking to a man some time ago, and he said rather condescendingly, well, now, of course, Dr. Jones, you're a controversial figure. Well, I said, of course I am. I'm a Christian. If you're a true Christian, you'll be a controversial figure. The Lord Jesus came, he said, not to bring peace but a sword, and the man's enemies shall be those of his own household. You cannot stand for righteousness and the Word of God without being in the center of conflict. Somebody said, you're always raising issues. I said, I never raised an issue in my life. All I did was open the Word of God and the issue flew out. Amen. You don't have to raise issues. You just raise the Word of God and say, this is what the book says, and there's an issue. Well, these are wonderful days to be alive. And how I thank God for the privilege of preaching the Word of God in this day of conflict. And it's to preach the Word of God, and only to preach the Word of God, that I'm here with you today. In the Old Testament, we find a story set forth that to me is one of the most interesting in the Word of God. The children of Israel, having come out of the wilderness, seem to cover the whole face of the earth. There they are, a people who 40 years before were in slavery. And now a generation has died off, and a new generation, more courageous, has been raised up. And they're coming in to possess the land which God has given them. And the king of Moab, looking out, sees these people, and he says, they're like grasshoppers, they'll eat up my land. And he sends to a prophet, a man named Balaam, men with treasure and gifts in their hand, and an invitation to come and curse this people. Say, my friend, the enemies of God's people always employ a curse against them. Thank God the word is sure, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Amen.
And when you have the sharp, two-edged sword of God's word, that will shatter any weapon lifted up to attack you. They resort to lies and falsehood and curses who cannot meet the sharp weapon of truth. But you know the strange thing about a weapon of falsehood? It's always brittle. And when we put on the armor of light, we are girded about with truth. Truth's a light garment. It's solid and substantial, but it never encumbers the wearer. But when you clothe yourself in lies, you'll find the garment rends and tears so easily it has to be constantly patched. And a man has no time to fight. He's so busy trying to keep his clothes in order. But they'll curse God's man and they'll lie about God's man. But the cursing and the lying is ineffective where God blesses. And this man Balaam said, well, I'll consider the thing overnight. You stay here. Listen, when you give habitation overnight to the enemy of God's people, you're already sold out to the devil. But Balaam, strange figure he is. A man who in some ways seems to be entirely a stranger to God's grace and God's mercy and God's plan. But nonetheless, a man who had a peculiar power to curse, and the curse he leveled came to pass. And in the morning, he goes back to these people, and he says, the Lord told me in the night I cannot go. And they return to Balak, and Balak says, oh, surely he'll come. And he sent more noble messengers and greater gifts. And again, this man who had been told of God he should not go says, stay tonight and I'll talk to the Lord about it. Maybe God's changed his mind. Listen, God doesn't change his mind. His yea is yea and his amen is amen. And that which he decrees shall come to pass and that which he declares shall be performed. Amen. I thank God he is as eternal as his truth and he is truth. But God in the night said, all right, you're determined. I told you not to go. Go ahead. Listen, God will let you go against his divine purpose. Men through the ages have lifted themselves up against God. You can ride to victory in the chariot of God's purpose with God, or you can be crushed by the hoofs of its horses and ground to powder by its turning wheels. But God's purpose moves on.
Amen.
And the choice is yours. To ride the victor or to fall the victim. But God's purpose is unchanging. And he sets out. You know the story. Thrice in the way, the beast that bore him turned aside. The third time, unable to move because of the narrowness of the path, fell on its knees, refusing to move. Because the beast saw what the eyes of the prophet could not see. Listen, friend, how tragic is it when God's prophet is so blinded by greed, he cannot see God's angel that's plain to a dumb ass. Do you know today there are many men who stand in pulpits in your land and in my land who call themselves ministers of the Word of God and they haven't the plain spiritual sight of an ass. By the way, did you ever notice it's a lady ass? The Bible says she said. And finally, the dumb mouth opened. The beast said, haven't I always been a faithful servant? I've always done what you told me. And then the eyes of the prophet were opened. And he saw the angel. And the angel said, I'd have killed you. But your ass protected you by turning aside and refusing to force away. He said, now I'll go back. He's gotten kind of convicted a little bit. He's a little repentant now. It takes the wrath of God to bring men to their knees sometimes. No, you started. You go ahead. But you are going to say what God puts into your mouth willy-nilly. And he went. And three times from the mountaintop he tried to curse these people. But every time he opened his mouth, blessing poured forth. And as he looked at this horde, this sprawling mass, he cried, the shout of a king is among them. There was no royal standard flying, no royal pavilion spread, just men and women and little children on the march. But God was there. And where God is, the king's voice can be heard. Balaam was guilty of seeking gain and selling himself for profit. That's the way of Balaam. Many walk in it today.
He was guilty of the error that God must curse because these men are imperfect and there's sin there. My friend, God does curse sin.
But not where sin is under the blood and the sacrifice has been made. And God's justice fully satisfied, seeing the blood he passes over. And that this prophet could not see, and neither can these preachers of social reform and civil agitation.
They believe somehow that man must build up his perfect world, and that anything that stands in the way of human achievement, humanistically applied, will somehow be cursed of God. But God never calls His people to try to make a perfect world. God calls His people to stand for the truth and contend for righteousness. And God brings to pass the victory, for the victory is the Lord's.
And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith.
And Balaam held the doctrine that he would corrupt those whom he could not curse. And he taught Midian how to make Israel sin. And by their compromise with the idolatry and immorality of these people, thousands of the children of Israel died. But my friend, the shout of a king was among them.
How often that shout can be heard down the ages. We hear it in creation. By the word of His power were all things made. My friend, God didn't whisper, "Let there be light." God spoke with power, "Let there be light," and bursting into final beauty bloom the heavenly bodies. And God declared, "It shall be." And lo, it was done. And by His voice were all things made, whose power upholds them, and in this King do all things consist. Don't you worry about man blowing up the world with an atomic bomb. God's gonna reserve that final destruction of the earth for Himself. For it's against Him that His creation has rebelled, and He's the God whose voice in judgment shall destroy it.
Oh, how wonderful is His name! How great His power! How majestic His ways! How effulgent His glory! Whose word is a word of power! He utters His voice, and the earth trembles. He speaks, and the hills skip like lambs. He plants His foot, and the earth quakes beneath it. And He moves in the might of the wind, and His pathway is in the flashing lightnings of a storm. And His is the voice of thunder. And that's the voice God's people hear. And its victorious shout is among them, though outnumbered by their enemies, though encompassed by sorrow, though persecuted and afflicted. And this people came not long after across the waters of the river that opened to let them pass. And there stood the fortress city of Jericho in their way, blocking their entrance to the land that God said, "I'll give you." Listen, friend, when God says, "Go in and possess the land," no soldiers can halt, and no fortress can bar. If man has faith to move, back of every command God puts omnipotence, and back of every errand God sends the power. And the leader, Joshua, on crossing the river, had met a soldier mighty in armor, and had said, "On whose behalf are you here? Are you for us or are you against us?" And the answer came, "Nay, as the captain of the Lord's host am I come." Do you know who that is? That's Jesus Christ in His pre-incarnate appearance. The angel of power. There He stands, God Himself, the captain of our salvation, and the royal sovereign of our fate. And he had gone with them, unseen by most of their eyes. But the shout of a king was among them. And they moved round the city, and again and again, and on the last day, they lifted a shout, and the walls trembled, and the way was open. All it takes is the shout of a king raised through the faithful lips of his people in obedience to his command, and the walls fall down, and the battlements are no more. We hear that voice again. It's the last day, the great day of the feast. And Jesus Christ is in the court of the temple. And he stood up and he cried with a loud voice, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and take of the water of life freely." We have a strange misconception of our blessed Savior. We've been so brainwashed, some of us, by these liberal, weak-kneed infidels that we think Jesus is as ineffectual and as effeminate-voiced as some of those preachers are. Listen to me, my friend. He was a man who preached in the open air, who stood up to be heard of the multitude. And his is the voice of divine authority. Oh, God can speak in the quiet voice as he spoke to the prophet on the mountaintop. Not in the rushing mighty wind, not in the earthquake nor the fire. But that's God's quiet voice in communion to a dedicated heart. But when Jesus Christ spoke to the multitude, he spoke in the power of his deity. And his voice could be heard echoing from the columns and the alabaster walls of God's house. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." That voice lifted an invitation, swells the ranks of the army, and increased the host. That voice echoes down the ages from pole to pole and covers the earth. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." Universal in its cry, appealing in its pathos, open in its love, "Come unto me." Listen to me, friend. If you are here today a stranger to God's grace, an alien to God, hear that cry and come. There's no satisfaction outside of his love. There's no hope outside of him. There's no joy anywhere except in Jesus. All the streams of earth are bitter. All the waters brackish flow. But when I taste of Jesus, full salvation, then I know. This voice speaks of the Spirit that moves where it listed. And no man knows whence it comes and whither it goes. For divine authority chooses its own way, and divine power will not take the dictation of men's choices. But the invitation is general. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we hear that voice raised in judgment. Hear these words from Jeremiah. "Therefore prophesy against them all these words. The Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from the holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the end of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations." This God who cries in mercy, "Come," is the same God who in authority and judgment says, "Depart." God's dealing with the nations of the earth today, my friends. He's dealing with the Gentile nations. And they one day shall come up against his people Israel. And they'll be encamped round about. And God brings them there that he shall destroy them. that all the Gentile nations may know that He is God. Oh, how hard the times are sometimes. How God's people are crushed down and persecuted. How difficult is the man's way who would seek to walk a path of righteousness. How stony the road and how thorny the bed of those who would serve Jesus. But thank God, there's a day coming when all things shall be made right. And the secret things shall be opened. It's going to be most interesting when those books are uncovered. The schemes of rulers. The dirty dealings and the foul plans that have been wrought in secret. The conspiracies that have been whispered and woven in the night. And every eye shall see them. And God's judgment from the books shall be uttered forth. I tell you, my friend, that's the day it's well to be hid in Jesus. To know the sins already judged on the cross and God's wrath passed over. What a day. There they stand, all the nations. I tell you, my friend, that's the day it's well to be hid in Jesus. To know the sins already judged on the cross and God's wrath passed over. What a day. There they stand, all the nations, all the millions of all the ages who died without Christ. All those who conspired against God and who in their pride raised themselves up against the Lord's anointed. But God speaks, and from the depths of hell to the heights of heaven, every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess His Lordship to the glory of God His Father. You can't escape Jesus Christ. You may avoid Him now and go down to hell refusing Jesus. But someday, as the waves of sulfur hiss and toss amid the fumes of burning, you shall kneel and cry, King of kings, Lord of lords. And as in hell you suffer, but cry out, the redeemed in glory cast down their crowns, while angel voices raise, and all the chorus of celestial glory raise the cry, King of kings and Lord of lords. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. There's a voice of victory. We hear it raised on the cross of Calvary. It is finished. Loud that voice. No apology in the cry. Fulfill the will of the Father from before the foundation of the world. Complete the work of redemption. Forever ended the necessity of sacrifice. No mass on an altar every Sunday. No beast brought for the burning. No pious giving in an effort to appease God necessary. The work is finished. Salvation's price is paid. And sinners can go free. It is finished. Could my zeal no languor know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. He had cried, I thirst. He had cried in agony on the cross. But now with mighty voice echoes through the hearts of saints forever. It is finished. The work is done, the price is paid. Thank God, I'm free. But there'll be one more cry of victory. It comes in that day when the trump of God shall sound. For we are told He'll come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And I think, my friend, though you may not agree with this interpretation, I think that voice of the archangel you hear there is the voice of Jesus Christ Himself raised, like the mighty archangels who around the throne of glory cry, "Holy, holy, holy." That voice, that shout, "Oh, glorious day." I've often thought of places I'd like to be when the Lord returns for His church. Down in some country churchyard in the South where I was born, in the lovely state of Alabama. You see them there, white buildings, small with clear glass windows, and about them in the grove lie the graves of the saints who once worshipped there. They used to have camp meetings and revival services, and how the praise of God used to echo in that simple building. When that voice cries, for a moment I'm sure as the saints come up, it will seem as if those days of revival victory have returned as they shout hallelujah. I'd like to stand somewhere on a rocky cliff above a sea and watch the tossing waves and foaming billows when the trumpet sounds and His voice is raised and coral-crusted bones of long-drowned seamen are clothed again with the healthy pink flesh of immortality and rise, cleaving the billows and shouting His praise. Amen. I'd like to be down at the cave of Machpelah and see Abraham shake the dust from his shroud and nudge Sarah and say, "Get up, old girl, it's resurrection morning." Amen. I'd like to stand there on the campus of Bob Jones University, where my father lies to rest on a little island in the middle of a pool, and see him who loved the Lord come back. But it doesn't matter where we are. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, so shall we forever be with the Lord. What a shout that raises the dead, that same voice that cried loudly, "Lazarus, come forth," shall speak, and this time He doesn't name one man, but all the dead who died in Christ are caught away forever. Oh, Christian, lift your head and raise your voice. These are no days for despondency. This is no time for crying. This is the day for rejoicing. For our salvation is eternal, our victory is sure, our Lord is the Christ of glory, ever living, all glorious. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the sure hope we have in Jesus. And we thank Thee that the victory is the Lord's. And this victory overcomes the world in us, as we have faith to know it so. We pray to pour out upon this congregation a spirit of revival and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. May we hear rushing mighty wind and know the cloven tongues of fire, and send us forth strong in the Lord and the power of His might to do battle, to contend for the faith, and to reach out hand offering His salvation to those in the world of darkness and the shadow of the tomb. We pray it in His worthy name. Amen.